Welcome to the Av Podcast with Kelsey
on South Shore Ave Radio.
Welcome to the Av Podcast, where we are back with the Game 5 wrap-up, the post-game pod of the Raptors-Cavaliers series. I am joined by some of the South Shore Ave family members. We got Mr. Randall Walter, COO of Team Lightskin and the co-founder of Red Rush Ontario's AAU program. And we got Mr. Jan Michael Nation, the two-time Hall of Famer at Rye High, aka Ryerson University, aka TMU. And he is a certified yoga instructor. If you want his plans, his lessons, go check him out now. How y'all doing today?
I knew there's gonna be some kind of twist to it, but thank you. I appreciate it though.
Kept it clean today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Feeding the bar soup.
Yo, you got that hat on lean like T.I.
Ooh, gotta let him know.
For those who don't know, now you know.
Gotta let him know. We up 3-2.
What you know about that, John? Blur, blur, who?
Look here, man. We won victory away from flipping a police car. We won victory away, man. We got it down.
First round win. We in the streets.
Yo, just one. We just one more away from flipping a police car. Jan doesn't know this, but like, we still got Montreal as our age, and if the Canadians won the cup, they're still going to go loot on St. Catherine Street. You don't even know that, do you? Yeah. We still got cats with families that got the crowbars in the trunk, still getting ready to go down to 401 loot like they back in high school.
From 92. See, where were you in 92 when they won the cup?
Oh, man, my parents strapped me down, man. They knew better. They knew.
I don't know if I'm able to talk about it on the, if I could tell you a quick on the pod what I was doing. It's a little risque.
Yeah. We're in a day and age where your past could really get to bite you in the butt right now.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, guys. You're going to incriminate yourself.
We'll talk after.
I'm about to drop a Woj bomb.
Oh, wow.
Now, my parents knew better, man. My parents knew better. They knew what was going down. They knew what was going down, man. They had, you know, I come from a family of six, and I think the Canadians won the cup maybe a few years before. So they knew. Once I started getting ready, like, where the hell do you think you're going? You ain't going nowhere. Everybody had a new wardrobe. Everybody had a new wardrobe the next day, except me, you know.
That was the Patrick Roy years?
Yeah. Patrick Waugh, Chelios, Guy Carbonneau, all them boys, man. All them boys. We still waiting. We still need this back, man. We need this back. But, you know, at least the Canadian team won tonight, though. So, that, you know, we'll take that. We got to take it any way we can get it. But, but the Raptors lost today. Lost by 5, 125-120. What were your thoughts on the game today? We'll start with a Torontonian.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I felt they had it was a scrappy game. I thought, you know, being a team coming on the road, especially in the playoffs, they had four games prior. You have a tendency sometimes when players go home, they get some go home cooking, they get real comfortable. So it's an opportunity for the Raptors to throw the first punch and put them on their heels early. And that's what they did. And it's unfortunate that Ingram got hurt, because I thought if he was there today, he would have definitely helped with the fourth quarter execution. But I thought they fought, they had a good game plan. They hit some good threes. They played some great defense. They pushed the ball. It was very competitive. It's just they ran out of gas. They played a physical brand that they needed to play on the road to keep them close, but they just ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter was what bit them, you know, offensively, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Rand?
Yo, we're playing with house money. I was proud of Aras, man. You know what I mean? We're playing with house money. We came out the gate swinging like we had nothing to lose, right? They started the game pretty hot. I like the aggressiveness. You said it. Like, at the end of the day, It boggles my mind how soft Cleveland is.
Yes.
They're just soft, right?
Yeah.
And even when they act tough, it's like, get out of here, you know?
It's not consistent. It's not consistent.
RJ's pumping y'all. You know what I mean? Yeah. No offense. Love RJ. That's my guy. I go to war with him. But, man, they don't got any ump. They did beat us with their length and size, but they kept it close. Mm-hmm. I think times the Raps could have pulled away. And, you know, I give it to, you know, Cleveland's coach for keeping the game close with their game plan. They stuck to it.
Yeah.
Their stars, even, you know, they hit the shots when they needed to, but they weren't the factor in this game, right? The factor was the bigs. Factor was the bench. And despite you can't have your two, like we call them the big three, but, you know, two of your guys playing essentially the whole game and expect to win.
Yeah.
Right? If you could just see it, like, right at the end of the third, their legs are getting tired. They're busting their ass. But, you know, we need more depth, right? I actually didn't mind Poro in the first half, right? Like, he gave us – when he came in, I would love to see his plus-minus. I didn't have a time to check. But just from an eye test, it looked like when he came in the first half, he affected the game a lot. Like, he was grabbing rebounds. He got a couple of back-to-back buckets. Like, the matchups were played well. Darko did a good job with matchups, I thought. At least for the first half. Or at least in the first half, all the way to the third, going into the fourth, right? I think, again, it was – he tried his best, but our sea legs were not there, right? We were just wobbly at the end, and you could see we're a step behind. Jumpers are just hitting front rim, you know. That's just we needed Ingram. I mean, Ingram got sad because he probably broke up with Gorilla. You know what I mean? He probably was like, oh my God.
Did he?
But he left me. Yeah, you saw him hobbling off.
Did he?
Head down. You know what I mean?
Hold the phone, Randall. Hold the phone. Did he really break up with Gorilla? I mean, that's breaking news.
Come on, man.
I'll say this. His heel. It was his heel.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looked like he got the ball stolen and his pride was hurt. That's what it looked like to me. Now, again, look, I'm just being a hater, so I'll put that out there. He has had a terrible series. I think he's looking for an out. I think, you know, as rest in peace, Headley, you know, he would say he looks like he wears pink panties, at least this series. And I'm a little bit upset with that because we need it, right? You know, I still don't know what's going on at Ingram, but when you get two of your starters not playing, we needed that boost. And I don't know what to say. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you got to sit back and we got to eat this one. But with all that being said, I'm hating, but I love what I saw on the court from the guys that were out there. I mean, we got more from Walter than I expected, and in the first half was crazy. Mm. I just think the hot hand was cold after the third. We went to
him. I think
I was gonna say, do you think he did like the Kaiser Sose walk into the locker room? To your point? Like, you think by the time he got into the locker room, nobody was around, he just started walking around normally?
I just got it. Yeah. Kind of hobbling, and he walked in, sat down. Mm-hmm.
I'll
say this. I think when you're playing such intense defense, the first thing that goes offensively is your legs, right? So that's why the jumpers were short. They're traveling. It's a road game. I just thought they were there. With all that said, with all that was happening, and then they had some bad turnovers in crucial moments, they still gave themselves a fighting chance down the stretch. I think this was good, valuable experience, obviously for future reference, but at the same time, they could put up a good fight considering, like you said, they didn't have two starters. Channing Frye made a comment on one of his podcasts earlier, I think it was this morning or yesterday. He said, Cleveland has talls, not bigs, for big men. And I was like, wow, that's a great way to categorize it. You know what I mean? Because like those guys, because those guys don't play big, Raptors have a chance because their style is so physical and so bruising. I thought for a while there, can Harden and Mitchell keep this up, having to play make and score throughout the game? And what saved them was obviously the bench. What's his name? The point guard. His name escapes me. Sorry?
Dennis Schroeder.
Schroeder, yeah. And the shooter there. He hit some threes.
Merrill.
Yeah. So.
And Struce, Max Struce too as well.
Struce was big too down the stretch, right? So they made the bench made plays for Cleveland down the stretch to support the starters, which gave them a chance to kind of ease it. And then they held on. I think Toronto should feel good about themselves. They just have to rest up and then that give everything they got on Friday, you know.
It's funny because what stuck out to me the worst out of I think out of this game in total was those two guys in Cleveland, Allen and Mobley. They should be, honestly, even though they won the game today and Mobley played a little bit better in the second half, they came out a little bit stronger in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah.
It tells me a couple things. Number one, somebody definitely got into both of their ears at halftime because they came out with a whole different energy, that at least in the third quarter. They started with a whole different energy than they did that first half. Yeah. And to me, what stuck out to me is, like, I was like, they should be ashamed of themselves. Because I'm like, to me, this was, you know, game five, you're at a point now where it's like, okay, you guys have
know each other.
You know each other now. You're a little annoyed with each other. It's getting a little more chippy. You know what I mean? It's a little more intense. Like, you know, the possessions mean a lot more now because, you know, you're taking that decisive 3-2 edge in the series. You're going to come out with a little bit more heart, a little bit more intensity. And to see how those two guys have played pretty much most of the series, like, you're letting a rookie, like, you know, we got love for CMB, but like, you're letting an undersized rookie
Your
heart.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, competing. It was a heart check test. I'm saying it was a heart check test and they failed again.
Well, I'll tell you this. They did fail. Well, they didn't really fail because there was the key possessions that they needed to score. They scored.
And they scored, yeah.
And it was baby food, right?
Yeah.
What did Shaq call it?
Barbecue chicken.
They were just dumping it inside and they were just getting little hook shots. And, you know, we're fronting the big and they're lobbing it over and there's no help side. Come on, any person that really knows basketball, after a
few times,
rotation has to come, right? That, and I think they were overcommitting way too much on Harden at times. Like, if you have a good defender that can isolate him in a quadrant, right, like towards the sideline, now you're isolating. If he hits that step-back jumper, you live and die with it. But he wasn't hitting it
last
three games. It's like, yeah, he'll hit a couple, but he's not going to hit that consistently, right? And if you're – and even that kind of double is too late. So it's not even effective a lot of the times unless he drives, right? But my thing is you're leaving those shooters, which are decent shooters out there, and let's just say they miss. Because they're such good shooters, the misses are rebounds are within the vicinity of the hoop. They're not long rebounds because they rattle in and out. Now you got those two guys eating glass and just putting back on us. How many second chance points did they get?
Yeah. I mean,
I'll say that
not a lot from Allen, because I mean Allen only got like three boards today.
Yeah.
No, but
what's the point?
Sorry, he didn't get a lot from Allen, but the fact you got a big on him, right, takes away the opportunity for our quote unquote big, which we don't have to get rebounds. But anyway, sorry, Jam.
Yeah.
No, you're good. One thing I was shocking to me was how Pirtle started off the game. And he looked like he had some pep in his step. He looked quite agile. He looked loose. And so I'm like, wow, that's added offense, that hopefully it could be consistent, but obviously it got shut down in the second half, but like you can live with that. That's rewarding or to look forward to, hopefully going home on Friday. I was very, impressed with how he started the game. He was aggressive. He was going to the basket. He got some dunks. Got some good looks. Barnes was looking for him. So it was interesting. But we, you know, obviously with all the adjustments happening, and then I just think that they have to find a way to pick up the pace to get easier scores. That's easier said than done, but for them to just to come down and walk the ball when they don't have a point guard and they don't have their ace who's their who's going to finish the plays, it's not conducive for success over a long period of a time. So that's what you saw. You saw a lot of threes. I saw Shed take like four threes consecutively or three threes consecutively, and some of the looks were good, but these guys are tired. They have no legs. You know, their bread and butter is trying to attack the paint to see what they get and then maybe kick it out for, you know, but they just didn't have their legs under them for the shots. And that's what, you know, led to their demise.
Those are quickly shots. Those shots belonged quickly today, right?
Fair enough, yeah.
Because, yeah. You know, like in that type. And the other thing too, because I've been very critical on Darko and the offense, but the other flip side to it is, I paid a little bit more attention because I didn't want to come back on this pod and say the same damn thing all the time. But the one silver lining, again, and I keep saying what silver linings are, the one thing that I will say that I understand now is when they are doing those screens, right? Like they're doing kind of guard to guard screens a lot, you're creating a lot of mismatches, right? Because they're not fighting over the screens, they're switching. So when they just switch automatically. So when they switch, you're going at, you know, it's kind of logical because all this whole series has been based on your attacking the weak.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it if actions were done quicker, right? But like you said, Dan, if you're taking time on actions,
yes,
you're having the defense, the help defense set
give
up,
yourself, right? Give yourself more time quick, to start.
And the other thing is like, you know, as long as the I don't mind the switching as long as you said the movement is fast, right? And that's where I'll be honest. Ingram hurts us this series because he doesn't move the ball quick enough. He holds the ball. Correct. He holds the ball and the whole flow goes, right? And if you're going to get it, you've got to be as decisive and quick. And he's not. Yeah. He's not. Yeah. He's just not. He looks slow all series. And I told you guys, he's not the slightest by foot by any means. But
yes,
a little bit more of a burst in his first step in the regular season. So maybe I give him something's off, but we need more from you. Man, if you want to be the guy, you're going to go on a podcast, talk about all that shit, talk that shit, back that shit up. Right?
Yeah, back it up. Yeah, now's the time to show it.
And the other thing with Poeltl, you're absolutely right. But fuck that too, because Poeltl, how much we paying Poeltl? 18 mil a year, some bullshit? You're $18 million dollar man. Huh?
30.
Huh?
30.
Fuck.
You heard me. I'm going to Google it right now. Keep going.
Don't. My blood pressure is already high. Where if we are, and I can't remember, so I know it was something crazy.
I'm googling right now. Oh, actually, sorry, no, sorry, I got that wrong. You actually have it right. It's he's making this series making 19 million. He's a player option for 19 million for 26-27.
I didn't have a chance to look at all the whatnots, but he's making in that vicinity of 18-19. Give me 18-19 worth of starting fucking center minutes. I'm sorry, I'm pissed off because we are satisfied with status quo with guys that are just not cutting it. And I don't give a shit about what you're injured. Yo, I was a big football guy growing up. You guys know Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah.
That guy would shoot up with all types of shit to get on that field.
On that field, yeah.
With one leg, he was out there knocking motherfuckers out. So,
but it's a different time, my brother.
Yo, I don't give a shit.
I was gonna say, different sport too.
Come on, man. It's playoffs. We're not talking about practice.
I hear you.
We're not talking about regular season. Playoffs. Put that shit in your butt. You go.
Okay.
Pause.
You bring up a good point, but we still don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What's going on fully? So I'll give him that pass. But you're right, though. He's not living up to his check. And it's not like, and now is a time when you, like, whatever happened in regular season is to set you up for the playoffs. And like I said in the last pod, you know, the playoffs show you who the contenders are, who are the pretenders, who are real and who are not real. And more importantly, the coaches get exposed as well. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't come prepared and do your work, you're going to get shown up and it's going to, and everyone's going to see it. You know what I'm saying? So,
And you're seeing examples already, because I mean, not even this series. Look at Detroit. Look what's happening in Detroit right now. Although they won tonight, but it took a Herculean effort from Cade. He had 45. I mean, actually, we should have been talking about that game tonight, because both him and Banchero had 45 tonight. Yeah. It was a classic game. But I'm saying all this to say, like, Detroit got exposed because they don't have a second score. Right, and that the chickens are coming home to roost right now.
I'm intrigued to see what Duren put up, but I'll say this about Banchero. I know we're going off the topic a little bit, but he has not, his field goal percentage has been abysmal, like 37-39, and I'm like, wow. So it's good that he got a breakout game, but my goodness, 37, that's unacceptable for a player of that magnitude and that size, 100%. Especially,
yeah. Huh?
No, I said 100%. He was 17 for 31 tonight, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they had a better shooting performance. But the other thing with Banchero that I don't—he's such a ball dominant player. He's kind of like before. He's kind of like he's kind of like Zach, not Zach Randolph.
Levine?
Julius Randle.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Kind of in the vein of a Julius Randle.
Yes.
Right. Without the jump shot. You know, and I just think he's a lot of maturity in his game. There's a lot of positives, but I think, you know, and I mean, see, we talked about this on former pods. Like, and you were always a huge fan of him when he came in the league, and he
just came in.
Yeah, it was you know, first two seasons you really didn't know what he can offer, but once you found out, you know, teams, he's still a good player, but he hasn't had the greatest leap that I thought he would have. From where I thought he was at.
I think the book is still open on for him. I think he's still, like, you know, everyone has an off year. I think sometimes you drink too much of your own Kool-Aid. You think you're something that you're actually not. And then when you don't put in the work, it shows in the season. He got to a slow start and it didn't get better. It was just up and down, roller coaster, right?
Hold on. He had an off season because he had to carry a bigger load than I don't think he was ready for, right? Because remember, kind of slew of injuries. And he kind of was alone at one point, right? And
they've never had a point.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
You said he never had a point guard?
Yeah, they never had a true point guard. So that's why I felt like it was good to give him the experience as a playmaker, but it's hurting his game because he still thinks that's his strongest skill set. And it's not. It's a secondary skill set that he should be using, right? So I felt like they need a point guard to put these guys in their natural positions, because I thought him and Franz ball handling? No, that's too much ball handling. Too much. Let these guys. Yeah. These are scorers.
What about Sub?
Not all the time, but like limit that, right? And once again, that's coaching and systems and all that. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Suggs is a point guard, but he's looking more to score more so than anything, not more to playmake, right? Yeah. So they need a playmaker to put guys in their natural position, so they don't have to. It's so hard to like the ball dies in these guys' hands, and it's such an isolation play. It's so hard to score. And you know, so these guys are loading up in the half court.
Even if it's somebody off the bench, like even if they get somebody off the bench, and this is what, you know, we're harkening to in the last pod or last couple of pods, like with Toronto, and this is what I've been kind of thinking about this whole season with them. Like, you need, like, if you're going to start quickly, cool, but you got to have a point guard to at least get them in proper sets in, you know, just like I said, at certain points of the game. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to have an old school guard that's only going to pass first, like throughout the whole game. But you do need a guard in the playoffs, especially to at least.
So what do you think of Shed? What do you think of Shed today? Proper set.
Shed was great. I thought Shed had his best game today.
I thought he turned over the ball too much.
Well, they all turned over the ball. I think his first. I think of all the games I've watched this series, I think this was his strongest game. Right.
Strongest offensive game. He had some good threes, but I felt like they. some of the playmaking, like I can't stand when a point guard stops his dribble and he's stuck in the paint looking to pass the ball out. Yeah. And that happened a few times.
He's not a real point though. That's why.
Yeah, because he's not a starting point. He has too much. And the thing about it is, I hate to say this, and I always get in trouble for saying this, but see, you know what I'm going to say. I'm not a big fan of small point guards, right? So because that and in the league, because what ends up happening is you get engulfed, and that's what exactly they think they can go up, and unless you're Jalen Brunson, who works top 2 feet and really has that strength, which he doesn't yet. And can kind of maneuver through that because he knows what he's going to do before when he passed the ball. Where these guys, they don't know what they're going to do and they only pass when they're
trying to figure it out on the fly.
Right. Yeah. That's the maturity of his game that needs to happen. And that's kind of the small boy.
A counter. He needs more counters. He needs more counters.
Yeah. Listen, man, I'm not mad at Shed. I think this is a good learning curve. I think they left Shed and Walter. I don't think they're good at playing at the same time. And I don't think they left them on the court too long and too
long
when they needed. I think there's other players you could have put in with different matchups if you're going to do anything, rest Scotty and bear it in, that kind of stuff. Right.
I think Darko, because they had such a good start. He lived and died with them.
Yeah, no.
He lived and died with them.
No, because he didn't have anything. He's grasping at straws. Yeah. And see, you said something earlier that I was going to say is tying it back together from a point guard perspective. The other part of being a point guard in the playoffs is you got to be able to, this era, a point guard has to be able to hit open shots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're open, you got to, it's like Chris Paul kind of became that guy that would get eight, six, but he's able to get two or three threes. You got to be able to do that. Even if it's 9 points, you've got to be able to hit open shots. We don't have point guards that I feel confident if they're wide open are going to hit it. Every time
Schroeder hit some big shots today, that surprised me.
Yeah, but that's an anomaly, right? That's a guy that kind of will do. That's not a Schroeder realistic. That's not his game, but he can do it. He's a set shooter, right? He's not a guy.
Yes.
You notice when he's the three, it's like so slow. Wind up. Let go, right? He'll give you that. I thought last year with Detroit, he was magically fit. I don't know why Detroit let him go because he fit.
I didn't understand that. He fit that mold perfectly.
And he was great on that second line. And even kind of staying in late in the games, you could push Kate to the two. I think the Raptors, they need to find that piece. They need to, and I've been saying that over and over. I know initially with certain players, I thought Morant would have fit well way back. Now I don't think because we need shooting, and he's not a shooter, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't have any really great floor spacers on this team. Again, every time we shoot a three, I'm holding my breath. I feel it's luck.
Well, you know my theory. I'd still go get him because where his value is at. I'd still go get him and figure this shit out after. But with Schroeder, it's funny because I was talking to my brother about this just before we started this. Shout out to DJ Chris Nice. But we were like, there's got to be something going on with Schroeder. Like Schroeder's one of those guys where, and I think Julian even mentioned this at one point. But like when you see a guy keep moving around from team to team, he's a good player, but he's like on his 8th, 9th, 10th team and all this stuff, but he's still producing. Like that's sometimes that is business, and sometimes it's because like either the team management, somebody, they're just not rocking with you. You got to be some sort of an a-hole behind the scenes. I'm not saying that directly to him, but he's played for a lot of teams, man. So that's not a coincidence.
No, but see, I think that he's a perfect example of a rental player, right? I think he's a point of his career that he's not going to ever be a starter. He's a journeyman. His salary is low. So, it's one of those things where do you really want to, and he's at an older age now, do you really want to invest in Schroeder as your backup? You can, but then he's going to demand more money. So they're like, well, we'll find a younger piece.
I mean, shit, you forget we had him. We had him a couple of years ago.
We signed him in the offseason and we gave him a little bit of money, right? And I think that was a show and prove. I don't think it was that long he was with us, but Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a great season with us. And you know me, no. I was a Schroeder fan from when he came in the league. Like, I thought we should have drafted him. Remember that? But anyway, I digress. But I do think that, you know, just in regards to the Raptors, we need to. This is a good. Bobby got a lot to look at and a lot to work with, because a lot of the value of our players have gone up that we can trade.
Oh, definitely.
And do we trade? Yeah. And do we trade? Do we trade RJ now? Do we trade, you know, certain guys? I mean, Poto had to go, but I don't know who's going
to
want.
It's going to be hard to move Ingram now because he's it's funny. I had to look up his playoff stats the other day just to see if, like, this has been, like, a continuous traditional history with him. But his first playoff series, I think it was in New Orleans, he averaged 27. I think they played Phoenix, too. I think it was, like, Zion, of course, was gone for the playoffs, and he was their leading scorer, and he played well. But in the two playoffs since then, he's basically been like this. So, mm-hmm. It almost seems like that first series was almost the anomaly. And what we've been seeing the last two playoffs that he's been in is this is like the regular occurrence. Like, this is, you know, he's kind of tanking his value right now. If you want to move him right now, this is going to be a little harder now because he has not been playing.
I wouldn't want to move him right now. I would give it. This is the first year of them playing together. They made a lot of headway. Why would you want to trade it right now when you can develop it and mold it and get there's like, you know what I'm saying? There's like, sometimes people need to kind of fall to kind of find their new path. So I think it's more of a mental thing and more maturity thing behind the scenes, doing the work behind the scenes to keep his body ready and all that. So I think he's found a place where he's stable. I think he likes it here. He feels comfortable here. So I think it's just building from that. They made, like you said, Randall, they're playing with house money, being where they are. Right? No one expect them to be tied 2-2 after four games. And with a chance to win it, especially the way they started, right? So they have a chance to, like, there's no pressure on them. The pressure's on Cleveland to finish it. So once again, it's so hard to get foundational pieces and just building around it. And so it's not bringing in, like, I agree with Randall when you said about the shooting. They definitely need a shooter, like someone, right? And that'll be something for them to look into in the offseason. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Dick going forward, because that kid's not getting no playing time, really, unless it's a blowout. But, man. Hopefully Ingram's good to go for Friday, because, like, that'll be a chance to start to change the narrative. One game at a time, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, I totally forgot about Brady. That's crazy. The guy that we drafted to be a I totally forgot about it.
Think about his confidence. Think of his confidence right now. Like, okay, I'm not.
No, he's completely out of rotation.
Oh yeah,
he's gone.
Right,
he's completely out.
This can break him. It depends on his mindset. Is this going to break you, or just going to like push you to put in the work right now? And like, so this is when being a professional is so vital, because you can't take it personal. You got to wait for your moment, and then once you get it, you got to run with it.
I still maintain that, I understand, because Darko did try.
He gave him time. Yeah, he gave him moments.
It was getting bad. It was getting bad, right? And with all the injuries, I thought he'll snap out of it. But you guys think? Would you guys have taken a flyer on a Grady, on a, let's say, a Grady Dick appearance?
No, not right, because he hasn't proven anything.
No,
he hasn't
defense.
Proven it, right? And then defense, he's gonna get
You think I don't think his defense was that bad in the last two seasons. I mean, he's not a stellar defender, but he's not terrible.
Okay, well, do you think he'd be a deer in headlights? You know what I'm saying?
I don't have the answer. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I'm going off the sample size of this season, I would say no. The sample size off of, I think, three seasons, I would say yes, right? Like, I don't know. I'm just telling you what the first two seasons, if you just say, hey, Grady's going to fall off in year three abysmally and be on the bench, I say
he was building towards it. This season kind of took a step back, but I think because they're doing so well, his minutes is, you know what I'm saying, his development minutes were gone because they were winning and they have a chance to get a sixth or fifth seed, right? So there's more pressure, more, right?
Yeah, and honestly, how mad is Gillette at Grady right now? Because, oh my God.
Wow.
It's like you guys dumped that whole promotion. Good Lord.
No, they'll play. They put their money into that.
That's gonna
keep playing. They put their money into that already. That's gonna keep playing until.
Yo, and the thing about the thing about it is he was needed today. Like, if there's any time we need him to, like, we need a shooter at the three position. Like, we needed him today. Like, he could have played. Like, listen, AJ Lawson got pulled up from the G League, and I know he's more put in there for like spurts on defense to give guys a breather. He's got more minutes than Grady in the playoffs. Take that in. Like, all I'm saying is he that bad not to try out? And I would say, hey, we're putting you in, get warmed up. We need you to shoot. Right.
Well, if you're gonna do that, I would definitely do that for Game Six. I do that with the home crowd behind you. I wouldn't do that on the road.
I agree. We let Battle do it. Battle didn't play that much, and he came in out. And I mean, you know, I'm just talking out loud. You know, I'm thinking about it because I totally forgot about it, and I was thinking to myself when I was watching the game. Yeah. It's the first time my wife has watched the game with me. Normally, she's like, she'll watch pieces. She was all in it, like watching it, like how she's asking me, why are they doing this? And I'm sitting there, you asking me, I'm not the coach. For someone that's she's a casual basketball fan and watcher, for someone, she was asking great questions. And I totally, because she's like, who could we put in? She asked me at one point, these guys aren't hitting shots. Who would you put in? And I'm like, geez, like, you're right. Like, I don't know. Like, I think this lineup, and I even said, maybe I put Battle in. And I looked, Battle's on the floor. We're grasping at straws right now. And I mean, this tells me this. There were some good end of trade deadline pieces that we, like free agents, that we could have picked up. That window afterwards, right? And season window. And I know we opted into getting guys up in the G League. We have a team that can compete, let's just say.
Yes.
Like, my expectation was if we win more than one game, we're good. But now I'm watching it, we just need depth. One or two more pieces, right? Do you guys think that some of this is on Bobby for just being too passive? Forget about trades. Picking up, because there were guys still out there.
No,
let me say this part. I think I agree with you. I think the innate depth, because you can't, like, Barnes plays so hard, he wears himself out, right? Yeah. He plays on both ends so hard. He puts his body in the line, right? And I think if they got some more depth, it will alleviate some of the stress on Ingram and Barnes and Barrett on the offensive end, because you have a depth, you have a second unit that could kind of – so there's not – when you go to the bench, you don't want to have too much of a drop-off, right?
Yeah.
And right now, the drop-off offensively is killing them, especially in the offense.
Well, ideally, you want to have it like the bench mob, like how we did about 10 years ago, where, you know, when Van Vliet and all these guys and Siakam came off, it was like they kept the score in some ways. They even took the lead. You know, they extended the lead if it went further, you know what I mean? So that's ideally the best way you want to do it. But, I mean, it's hard to say with Webster because, again, first year in, you know what I mean? It's like, you're kind of flirting with the playoff spot, and then they started rolling a little bit towards the end. So, I mean, you're kind of like a little bit ahead of schedule at the same time too, even though this roster is quote unquote close to being maxed out already. But like, this is year one of it, so it's like I can't really fault him too tough. I think next year, like I think, you know, we've said this before, I think this summer is what's going to be important with these guys, right, and what kind of moves they make. You know, like I said, y'all already heard my Morant theory, you know, but like, you know, how I feel about that in terms of getting like that ceiling pushing superstar or potential superstar up. Like, you know, like I think they're going to have to trade for that, obviously, because, you know, we're not going to track that via free agency. But a couple of things I want to touch on before we move on and wrap up. But like going back to going back to Mobley and Allen, man, I was really, like, honestly, I was so disappointed in those guys. I know, you know, we're supposed to be quote unquote rooting against them. I like basketball, man. I like to see guys hit their potential. And honestly, when you're beating guys when they're playing well, it's a better feeling. But I feel like, again, like, I think if I'm Kobe Altman, if I'm the GM of the Cavs, I think at this point I got to split them up. I got to pick and choose which one, who's going to give me the better value and get me a big that can at least man the paint a little better. Give me something like a Hartenstein kind of player. Somebody that's going to be like, that's going to, you know, take the, you know, like if you're going to keep Mobley, then I need the other center to at least be a little bit of a bruiser. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to be like Isaiah Stewart. He's got to be a bit of a bruiser and just be that, you know, take the punches, you know what I mean? Like, be that tough guy a little bit, because the two of them together, it doesn't work. Like, again, like we've been talking about this for the last couple of years, how these guys keep getting their chin checked, and it's happening again. And like, luckily they're winning this series, but it keeps happening. Like they don't have the heart, like the two of them together combined to like one heart. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's not strong enough.
I thought with the Harden trade, I thought Harden unlocked another aspect of their game that they didn't have before. With, you know,
offensively, yeah.
Offensively. I'm surprised that they haven't excelled. I know they had injuries on and off, especially in the back end. But they were still, it looked like they were hitting some kind of a little bit of a stride before heading to the playoff. I'll say this. I would still give it more time. I wouldn't trade anyone right now, especially with the Harden factor. He's there. You know what I'm saying? Toronto's a bad matchup defensively for them because they're just constantly grinding them down. They're not. They're not a blue collar type of team. They're just. They want to do their thing. Like, by the way, Mitchell had some great dunks today. He got a dunk today that really surprised me down the lane. I was like, wow. But with that said, you can't in the league, you can't take that for granted. So just to trade him away, you know what you get back might not even replace that. You know what I'm saying? You got two bigs, and sometimes you can play one big, one off, and go small. And like, obviously, if you want to keep one, you would have to keep Mobley because he has more upside on the offensive and defensive end. He's a former defensive player of the year. Allen is still, it's interesting. Like, there's still growth there. I don't know, but it's hard to say.
It's kind of who he is at this point.
But look what Harden did. Look what Harden did when that stretch. You know what I'm saying? They won like 6-7 games in a row, and he's put up stupid numbers because they had him doing different things outside of the normal, just catching lobs or the flip pass. You know,
fair, but I mean, if you're gonna keep them, the reason why is just because again, you just got Harden like 2 months ago. So that would be maybe the only reason why, but I'm like, but this can't continue because they God forbid, I mean, God forbid they get out of this series.
You're right.
Whoever they go up against next would either be Detroit or Orlando. They're going to go through the same thing again because those guys, both those teams play hard, right? Yeah. And I mean, Orlando's kind of finding their wings again defensively, and those they go after it. You know what I mean? So it's, I just don't like that for them, man. Like I want to see them just at least again. I'm not saying they got to be like Oakley and Anthony Mason from back in the day, but you got to give me some more heart, man. Like I said, you can't have CMB taking your heart almost every night, and you're the veterans. You're like there's 2 7-footers. Like come on, man. Like it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable, and it's funny because I know Harden had a good game. Actually, he had a solid game today because I don't look at Harden at this stage now as being the guy on the team and all that stuff. Like he's what, you know, like he's somebody there to be an elite support system for Mitchell at this point. But Harden gets a lot of flack for not coming through in the playoffs and not playing well and all that stuff. And it's deserved. But underratedly, you know, like the one that sneaks under the Mendoza line with that stuff a little bit is Mitchell. Mitchell, and we don't see it as much because, like, when he has his big games, it looks amazing. Like, it's highlight worthy. You know, I like to call that Iverson move where he puts the ball over your head. Like, they call that windmill stuff or whatever, and he puts it over your head like Iverson used to do back in the day. Like, he has that mastered. And the dunks, all that stuff when he's going down the lane, it looks great. But But he has games where it's like, man, all he had is that. He only had 15. He only had this. Mm-hmm. It's the playoffs. That's kind of odd. Mm-hmm. But he kind of gets away with it a little bit. And, I mean, even tonight, he only had 19. And, I mean, he played better in certain points in the second half. It's not like he shot poorly. But, like, it just – it wasn't what you expected for somebody that is, you know, just – I would say just below being a superstar. Yeah, he had 19 and 5. He went 7 for 17. You know, like, it's – he went to the line twice. Went to the line once, actually. Like, that's not, he wasn't totally aggressive. You know what I mean? So this is the third game in a row, which is like that. It's one thing when you come back 2-2 and you're kind of shaky, but that's three games now. You know what I mean? But I find like the defense kind of gets under the radar a little bit with that.
I think the Toronto defense has something to do with that. But I agree. He's not to say flamed out. He's put up big numbers, but it hasn't been in for like substantial wins. You know, he had a shootout with Denver with Jamal in the bubble.
This guy put up
crazy numbers. I remember one year Utah was like was doing well, a 2 seed, and they flamed out in the first round. So this was a chance to kind of reestablish things, and to see that they're doing this, it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. But I guess time will tell. And it's just one game at a time. That's why you got to love the playoffs. You know, when you go from each opponent's arena, a lot of times the guys' games don't travel. So it'll be interesting to see what happens this Friday, because the pressure is on them once again.
The problem with him is he's a microwave scorer, right? And mm-hmm. when he's on. But if you're able to kind of quail like some of those waves, because he's not a consistent scorer. So he can go one quarter, score 2 points, 0 points, and then he'll drop like 12 in the next one, right? And he's good at coming through in the like that third, fourth, he comes on at the end. Now, if you're able to quail that, and we saw that Utah, it's a perfect example. See, like, you know, like you said, he goes under the radar. I don't think he went under the radar personally. I think that's why Utah traded him, because they saw that a guy that could carry their franchise to the next level. And he wasn't old at the time. And you would thought you're not going to let a superstar go. But I just didn't think they felt he was the guy that's going to take them to the next level. They tried and he failed. And the only reason why it's failed in Cleveland, I wouldn't blame him per se, because he can't do it alone. And the last year was the year that I thought that they were going to, we all thought they were going to go to the least of the finals, and injuries hit and he was alone. So I can't blame him. He didn't play bad. He actually played amazing. He did it all. He tried his best. And then this series, right? Yeah. I think it's hard when you do a trade halfway through the year, right?
Yes.
For a major piece. For it to gel, because now you can see at times, do I go? Do you go? Do I go? Do
you go? Yeah.
And they're both not, like, you know, Mitchell's not a terrible defender, but they're not, you know, they exert great a lot defender. Of offense, so they're not going to exert as much on defense. That's why I think Harden actually is playing okay, because he's actually trying on defense. We've seen some horrible Harden defense. At least he's trying, right? He's using it, not quick, like, laterally, but he's using his size, his strength. I don't blame it on them, per se, because they're not always going to be able to have a duo drop in 20 to 30 points a game. But you hit it on the nail on the head. See, if you're big, those two marshmallow puffs, if they can't come in and play big, that's going to happen, right? Like, listen, Allen is what he is. He's not an offensive juggernaut, but he's not aggressive. You guys said it. Get three rebounds versus.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, versus a team that they're as tall as the Longue Tornade. Come on. I think the Longue was bigger than them.
You're the sweetie in the pack of nerds, man. Like, that's how they're coming out right now. It's crazy.
Come on, man.
It's wild, man.
Raptors had a small lineup, and they weren't fearing anything. Raptors had a small lineup across the board.
Yeah, because it's like they know they don't have the heart, so they're just going right at him.
Right, wow,
said again, they're 2 7-footers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
not one of them had double digits of rebounds. this game.
I know.
Barrett had 12 rebounds.
Yeah, there you go. How many minutes did Barrett play?
He played 38. Barnes played 39.
How many minutes did Mobley play?
Mobley played 33. Harden played 40. Mitchell played 31. Strauss played 27. Allen played 25.
Sorry, who played 41?
Harden played 40.
Harden?
Oh, wow.
I didn't think Mitchell played 31.
Yeah, yeah, he rested a lot. And they let
Schroeder. Merrill played 23. Schroeder played 21. He had 19 off the bench. I felt Schroeder, like, once again, I felt Schroeder had a big impact in that, the beginning of the fourth quarter and in the mid, like 6 minute mark, because it was like a 4 point, 5 point game. And then he went on a little run and went to like 118 to 111. And then I don't know what happened, a little kerfuffle at the bench there. And then they went to a timeout. Toronto tried to get back into it, but it was just too, they gave him too much leeway to try to cut it back and it ran out of time.
That third quarter, they were up by 9 with a minute 30 left, and they just imploded, right?
Yes.
It worked the clock well. And the other thing, I was just thinking about it, because when you said Schroeder went on his runs, Walter was guarding. And what Walter was doing is, I think he
Going under.
You guessed. Sorry. No, you said exactly, yes. You saw that.
Yeah, almost threw my forward. And he got caught that last one, that big three.
He did it twice. Set
his feet, like you said, he's a set shooter.
Went right under the screen, and Schroeder's like,
he got caught. Caught. He got caught between everybody.
Yeah.
Right. And then you see Schroeder. Oh yeah. Oh, you gonna give me that much of time? Okay, I'm on fire right now, because I thought Schroeder hit a mid range on a foul line jumper. And I said, oh, he's cooking. He got a layup. He squeezed in a layup. Mm-hmm. And then he came down, jumper, and then the three, and then he was rolling at that point. And I was like, coach is like, oh, I don't need to put Hardy to Mitchell right now. I'm going to ride this guy. Right? So.
Yeah, that was all rhythm.
Yeah.
That was all rhythm. So with game six happening Friday, who y'all got? I actually think the it's going to go 7.
I think so, too.
It
depends on Ingram. It's all dependent on this heel, on whatever he's available, if he's questionable, whatever that is. If he don't play the full game, it's gonna be a hard go. But I think Toronto still will fight, but it's gonna be a hard out.
I'm not too concerned with Ingram. I think right now, I can be honest with you. Look, we need Ingram. We need Ingram. But we need Ingram more than anything as a quote unquote decoy. Because what Ingram does is it kind of aligns for matchups, right? Because even if Ingram's not touching the ball as much, it just opens up things, right? Because he's a quote-unquote threat, right?
His gravity, yeah.
Right, you got it. Now, is Quickly out for the series?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we have. I think it's gonna. This is gonna home. We've proven that we can play hard. I'm 50-50. It's a tough one. I'll ride with the Raptors. Obviously, I might pick the Raptors. You know, put a gun to my head, I'll do it. It's my squad. But
I just figured that the home crowd is gonna back them again, and the way this series has been going is every home team has been winning the game so far. So I just feel like the Raptors are going to take advantage of that home crowd.
If the Raptors win game 6, all the pressure is going to be on Cleveland, and you know, pressure bust pipe, right? So if they keep that game close, but I know I don't want to skip steps, but they have to win game 6 first. So if they win game 6, goodness. The stats don't favor in Harden and Mitchell's favor in those situations. Sorry?
You'll see.
But again, though, the energy guys are going to be coming alive. Like the role players usually play better at home, especially in the
playoffs. At home,
But the energy guys on the Raptors is really going to thrive off that, which they did the last two games, right? Including Barnes and Barrett, too, because they're both They both play hard, and you play harder when you got, you know, 18,000, 19,000 screaming like crazy people behind you, right? You're gonna go extra hard. So I expect them to come with it. It's just the key is basically what is Mitchell and those guys gonna do. So if Mitchell comes in like the 28-point score that he is, NBA superstar, yeah, I don't know if we're winning that. But if he comes in like how he's been playing the last 3-4 games, couple that with how the bigs are playing on Cleveland,
then 25 or less, they have a 10.
Yeah, I can see this going 7 on Sunday. So before we wrap up though, real quick, gotta ask this, man. Thoughts on Wemby and the Spurs so far?
Well, listen. Wemby's a freak of nature. I love on paper the Spurs. They just it should be the Spurs versus the OKC.
OKC, I think that's what we want at this point.
Yeah, but I'll give it to Portland. Portland honestly looks like it's kind of in the same vein as Raptors and Cleveland. Like Portland, I thought like when I first see the first two games, I'm like, it's done. Who's beating this team? And then, you know, Wemby goes down. I think they had won when Wemby went down. Then when he came back, they lost. And they didn't just lose. They lost. And then they came back and won again. Now it's a series now, right? Portland is impressed me. I mean, the Spurs will move on. But I think we said it on another pod. Are they mature enough to get through to the Eastern Conference Finals in the West? I mean, the Western Conference Finals in the West, right?
I mean, we got to see what happens with Denver because, I mean, right now they should come back and win the series. They should, but we'll see. But, I mean, Minnesota lost their starting backcourt and their best player. So, I mean, right now Denver should win that, but they're going to be exhausted by the time that series is over. They have to go play arrested San Antonio. Now they got the experience. That is going to be a slug out series. Hope I want to see that series happen, but at the same time, I'm like Wemby's, his energy is so infectious right now, man. Like I think it could literally light up the whole block. Like that's the kind of energy he has right now. Like he's like Viridian or Enbridge or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Like he's That guy's energy, a lexicon, whatever you want to call it for Ontario. But, like, these guys are, like he is, like, just lighting the whole city up, man. Like, and also, he didn't have to do that to Avia's shot. He didn't have to do that.
Is that done now?
Yeah, no, it's over. It's over.
Okay.
Yeah. He pelted that off the camera on the top of the backboard. Oh, yeah. I was going to go, like, 13 feet into the stands.
I'll say this. They look good. They look like they reestablished their not to say their dominance, but they look like they found their flow again after getting hurt and not being there. But they rediscovered their pecking order. I saw Fox really establish himself. Everyone did their thing, but Fox really, without really demanding the ball, took control and just finished the series off in Portland. The last game five, sorry. I think they're in a good position to rest up, heal, and just, you know, get ready for the next round. It's just step by step. You can't skip steps on this process. You got to embrace it. They got a lot of valuable experience in the first round against Portland. Yeah. Now it's the next round, right? So whoever comes out between Minnesota and Denver, which probably might be Denver leaning, they might make a comeback because they've done it before. But it'll be interesting to see. It'll be seasoning for them. For when they get to, if they get to the conference final,
Yeah,
I like that. I agree. It's gonna be. Listen, the storylines in the West is just that's where it's at. You know what I mean? That's where it's at. East, I think it's you can see a lot of the. It's kind of sporadic, right? I don't look at Denver. I'm not scared of Denver. Definitely, you know, I'm not scared of, no one's scared of Cleveland now, right? You know, who else is in the East? Atlanta, New York. I mean, I told you guys that New York's a playoff built team. but they don't look that impressive either.
Yeah.
So really, it's Boston.
Yeah, but even Boston too's got their holes, man. If they're not hitting threes, like, they're not winning. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the way they're built, right? And they got to be careful too, because they got to make sure to hit their shots like tomorrow. I think they play tomorrow night. They got to make sure to hit their shots too, because I'm like, Embiid is back, and I mean, Lord knows what Embiid is going to give you. But like this year in comparison to last year's Celtics roster, they don't have the bigs to contain Embiid. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like Kade and Vucevic, like, he's going to eat those guys if they don't make those threes. So yeah, they got to be careful. Like, last year you had better guys to deal with Embiid. This year they don't really have the guys to go with Embiid like that. So they got to be hitting their shots. If they're not hitting their shots, that series can also go seven. If you realize, all four series in the East are all going six. They're all 3-2 right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's, yeah. So like, there's no blowout. There's no OKC. Just, there's no team that's swept and just
running
like
through OKC. Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to Shea, because, yo, I didn't see game four, but I missed game three because shout out to my nephew Terrell, who got married on Saturday in Charlotte. So I missed that game, but oh my, yo, that man went 15 for 18, 40-something points.
Yes.
That's why he's my favorite player, man. That's why. He's awesome. He's awesome, man. But we'll wrap up here. But thank you guys, as always, you know, for hopping on. Jan, I gotta shout you. That shirt is fire. You know what I mean? That's an old school hip hop 90s shit. Jersey right there.
Yeah,
sorry, fire jersey, homie.
I have a friend that by church. Shout out to Rob. Buy City shirt. Yeah, this is a legendary shirt, man. So I'm just trying to. I said I'll go in the past. I'll showcase it today. But yeah, man, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, no doubt. Any last thoughts, Randall? Oh, you don't want to big up your boy Jacoby there, man? Because I figured during the game you was definitely hitting ChatGPT or Gemini to find out if he was Antiguan.
Oh wow!
Okay. Yo, it's funny because my daughter wanted to watch YouTube, but she with me. And when she saw that, she's like, that got to be our cousin, Daddy. I was like, we can claim him.
We can claim it, right? Of course. Of course.
You should. Thank you for checking out the latest edition of the Av Podcast. Special shout out goes out to Jan Michael Nation and Randall Walter for hopping on this episode and talking about Game 5 of the Raptors-Cavs series of the 2026 NBA playoffs. Man, I'm getting very descriptive here. We'll be back actually with a special Saturday morning episode to break down game six of this series. Game six will be on Friday night, and then you'll get that episode Saturday morning. Thank you for always for tuning in. We got some episodes coming next week, especially some music ones. I'm recreating the Stoop. Stay tuned for that. That's in the works right now. Stay tuned for that. And like I said, we got a bunch more projects and things coming down this summer. And this playoffs has been very good, man. Oh my gosh, I've been enjoying some really nice series right now, especially that Orlando Detroit one, man. Them guys are going at each other. I love it, man. Seeing what Wemby's been doing, just, you know, as I mentioned before, seeing what Wemby's been doing, the joy that he brings to this playoffs. This guy's so excited to win a series, man. Like, you actually feel his energy radiating off the TV screen. Like, he's so excited to be there and so hungry. Like, I can honestly see if they don't make the finals or he doesn't win it all. So I can see him crying, like, right on the court. I can see that actually happening. And I don't think anybody should be ashamed of it. Like, he's been amazing this year. And just the way he carries himself, it's honestly, it's probably one of the best stories of the playoffs so far. So we're definitely going to be pumping out some of these episodes for the playoffs. But like I said, until the Raptors lose, it's going to be very Raptors-centric until their playoff run is concluded. All right, so with that said, South Shirav is available. If you listen to podcasts, make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons. Hit those 5 stars for me, please, and thank you. And make sure you go on the Sal Sharaf YouTube channel, become a subscriber. Appreciate you for that. If you haven't done it yet, with Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, get into that as well. Wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you subscribe. And to check out the catalog, make sure you go over to SalSharaf.com. Once again, that is SalSharaf.com. All right? For Jan Michael Nation and Randall Walter, this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the latest episode right here on Sal Sharaf Radio. All right, until Saturday. We're gone. We out.